Welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. I'm Nathan Dagan, leader of the tech team here at Lighthouse. We hope that this message speaks to you powerfully.
In a few moments, we're going to see six individuals baptized. And I thank God for this public display of obedience to Jesus' command. Before he left this planet, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And I just thank the Lord. There is a way through Jesus Christ. And he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He says, "I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples from every nation." This morning, we'll realize there are different nations are represented even with the baptismal that's taking place. And he says, "I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you right until the end of the age." I just say thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning that there is only one being, one person that came that we have salvation in and through him. And even as Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to speak after the man that was sick and diseased from right at birth, he was lame, he could not walk. And as Peter and John were going into the temple, they said to him, "Hey, look at us." Probably he had his head down. It's just another day trying to survive, that people will give me something to survive. Alms. We call those alms. And he's just holding out his can or whatever he had, his container. And there is this thing of Peter saying to this man, "Look at me. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he stretched out his hand and took his hand. And immediately, even as he touched his hand, the strength that was not in his legs and in his muscles and in the sinews that had not functioned, had not worked his entire life, suddenly there was a power that went through Peter because of the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name. And that man stood up and began to walk, and he began to run and began to leap and praise God for the new life that had sprung into him and into his muscles, literally. Hallelujah. And they questioned Peter on this. "How is this possible?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for our good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, on which everything rests, on Jesus Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other way. It is only through Jesus Christ. And today, before we baptize these individuals, I want you to know what Satan does not want you to know. Today, I've entitled What Satan Doesn't Want You to Know. Without Jesus, life is impossible. I've entitled the series that I started last week, Mission Impossible. Without Jesus, it is impossible to have life. Truly. You may say, Pastor, hey, I'm alive. I'm doing fine. Today, I want you to know what Satan doesn't want you to know. In Revelation 12, it talks about they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death. They overcame Satan simply by the blood of the Lamb. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission of sins. The Old Testament, if you read through the Old Testament, the Lord established, God established with detail, and you can read it in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, detail of how they should conduct their lives and even to have the opportunity to meet with God. And there was, it was all about sacrifice. And according to the law, which God established in the Old Testament, almost all things are purified with blood. To be made pure, it's by blood. And without shedding of blood, or the spilling of blood, or the sacrifice of blood, there is no remission. Now you might say, what does it mean? Because remission is not a common word. To be remitted, or remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This word means to release from bondage or imprisonment. To be remitted or to have remission, to be set free from bondage or imprisonment. The second part of this definition is not only the release, but there's a pardoning that is taking place. To have forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, remission of the penalty that is against us. So, God is saying to have life, to be set free, to have pardon, it is by the shedding of blood. And it already began the Old Testament. And as you read through Leviticus, even Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, the laws that were given, hundreds and hundreds of things to do in detail. They say there's not just 10 commandments, but there's another 603 commandments. So 613 commandments in the Old Testament of the law. And so besides the 10 commandments, and for us to be free so that we are pardoned, there it is not possible without the blood. And so there were sacrifices that were put into place. You might say, what was sacrificed? There were bulls sacrificed. There were sheep that were sacrificed. There were goats that were sacrificed. And there were turtle doves that were sacrificed. Their blood was shed in the process of the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the peace offering. These four sacrifices were there continually. In fact, every single day at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 3 in the afternoon, there was a burnt offering that was sacrificed. If nobody was there to bring a sacrifice, and there probably would have been on a daily basis many that were coming and bringing sacrifice. And here at 3 or at 9 and 3, every day the burnt offering was already pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. He was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m. and he died at 3 p.m. His blood was shed for us so that we could have remission of sins. Again, the word remission is to be forgiven, to be pardoned from sin. As if we had never sinned, to have remission of the penalty. And we'll talk about a little bit about the penalty just quickly. The penalty for sin, whether we knew it, you might say, what's the difference between a sin and a trespass offering? A sin offering is for sins that you don't even know that you've committed. A trespass offering is for sins that you know that you've committed, and you bring a trespass offering. Again, whether it's a bull, or whether it's a ram, or whether it is a goat, or whether it is turtle doves, two turtle doves. And there was these sacrifices made in place of us, or in place of those that lived at that time. The shedding of blood so that we can be released from the bondage or imprisonment that we were in as a result of one sin. Just one sin. I just say thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. It says, Hebrews 9:23 says, therefore it was necessary that the copies of things in the heavens should be purified with these things. In the law in the Old Testament, as they were put into place after they came out of Egypt. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the things that God put into place on this earth, there was something that was better than those sacrifices. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. Jesus never went into the Holy of Holies in the temple that was in existence at his time. The temple that was rebuilt and it was expanded by King Herod. He never went into the Holy of Holies. In fact, at the time of Jesus, there was only one person that was allowed into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. It says this. It says here, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. And of that other was of an animal sacrifice. And it goes in Leviticus chapter 16. It talks about the Day of Atonement. In detail, this is what needs to happen. If you have a chance, read it, Leviticus chapter 16. If he would have to do that, if he would go into the Holy of Holies, like the priest every year, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To put away sin. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We're all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin, for salvation, so that judgment that will come for the believer in his sacrifice will be not one of judgment to be apart from God, but will be for salvation. You are saved. You are saved. For those that believe in Jesus Christ for their sins, remember this. And for me, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 7 years of age. I placed my faith in Jesus when I was just a boy. It is the most important decision I made in my life. It was at that moment, as I confessed my sin, as my mom and dad led me in a prayer, and there was a confession of sin, there was a confession and of faith to believe in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. And the third thing was a receiving of Jesus into my life as a seven-year-old. For those that believe in Jesus Christ for their sins, remember this. You were saved by faith in Jesus' blood for you. You are being saved by faith in Jesus' blood shed for you, like today. You will be saved by Jesus' blood shed for you. Absolutely. If you don't remember anything, just remember, and that's why Paul says, I was determined you would know nothing else. If you don't remember anything, remember this. Jesus Christ and him crucified for me. What happened on the cross, and even just before he went to the cross, is he began to bleed as they plucked his beard from his face, literally ripped his beard from his face. They smacked him, they hit him, they beat him, they scourged him with a cat of nine tails. His back and his front were ripped open, and he was bleeding. And then they nailed him to the cross after they put a crown of thorns in his head and beat it onto his head, and the blood was flowing down his face and down from his head and from his body. And he, as he bled on the cross, he bled for you and me. And if you don't remember anything, remember, I am saved by the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. Hallelujah. I am being saved by the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, and I will be saved by the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, past, present, and future, if your faith remains there. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So Christ offered himself once and for all to bear the sins of many. Not of all, of many. You might say, Pastor, why not all? Because there are people that even as they hear the message, say, I will not believe that. I don't believe that. Jesus, I don't believe that salvation is through your shed blood for me, your body broken and your blood shed for me. I don't believe it. And so salvation does not come to those that do not believe. And so you might say, then what happens when I die, when there is judgment immediately that comes, and it is around one thing? Where was your faith in? My faith was in myself, because I'm a really good person, and God loves me, and he wouldn't do that to me. And he does love you. He doesn't want anybody to be apart from him. And so he made a way possible 2,000 years ago. Hebrews 10. And I just want you to know, Satan will do whatever he can so that you don't accept this, that you don't believe in this, that you don't know this. And so I want to just talk quickly about five different things that happens when I place my faith in that broken body and shed blood for me, and what is there for me. Number one, I am perfected by his blood shed for me. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, himself, just one time, 2,000 years ago on a cross, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You might say, what does it mean, sanctified? Is purified and made righteous before God only by the blood. Now, let me just go back a little bit and say, well, doesn't seem to say that in this passage. So let me read from verse 1, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices of animals, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. If it made them perfect, they wouldn't have to keep doing it every year on the Day of Atonement. In fact, you might say, are they still doing it? Every year, they recognize the Day of Atonement. It's called Yom Kippur. Day Yom Kippur of Atonement. The Jews recognize it. In fact, they have the exact date every year that it's supposed to be done. It is on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar on the 10th day. Then would they not have ceased to be offered if they were made perfect, if a person was made perfect? They wouldn't have to have any more offerings, but every year there was a Day of Atonement. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Every year, a Day of Atonement, because it hadn't happened yet. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And so in Leviticus chapter 16, it tells about the Day of Atonement and what should happen, and it tells when it should be done, the seventh month and the 10th day of that month is the Day of Atonement. So this year again, usually it's in September, October. The Jewish calendar goes around not a 30 or 31 day cycle like we have. It goes around the lunar cycle of 28 days. And so every fourth year they add one extra month to the year to catch up everything. So, therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. This was not God's plan that there would be a continued sacrifice and offering, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, you got to remember, this is written 1,000 years before Jesus came. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. God, you didn't have pleasure in these sacrifices. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus says, I'm going to do the will of the Father. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, the Old Testament moving into the New Testament. By that will, his will, we have been sanctified or purified, made righteous before God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once for all. That it just happened one time and it was taken care of. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Talking Old Testament. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's what I read earlier. It says, Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. This happened after he rose from the dead, after he was crucified, was buried, he died and he was buried and he rose again. He says, all power and authority has been given to me. And it talks about him sitting ascending to heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. In fact, a conqueror would basically stand with his foot on the one needing to be conquered. In this case, right from the beginning in Genesis, it talks about that his heel would crush Satan's head. And he's conquered. He's already conquered the enemy. There's only one left, really, to be conquered, which is death. He's already taken the keys of death and of Hades and even the dominion of sin. We have this overcoming in our lives as believers, as our faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And so they would put their head or their foot on the neck of those that were conquered. And in this case, the enemy of our souls, Satan himself. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified to be made purified and made righteous before God. Thank you, Lord. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin, as we place our trust and faith in the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on that cross, his death and his burial and his resurrection. There's no longer any offering. We don't have to make any other offering except to keep our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. By faith in his blood shed for me, I can come boldly into God's presence by Jesus' blood. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, or into the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Interesting, there was a veil, and at the time of Jesus, the veil was woven together. They say it was somewhere between 2 and 3 inches thick. Now, you try to rip a shirt. This is so thin. I might be able to rip the buttons, but if I take and try to rip this fabric, already it'd be difficult. But can you imagine 2 to 3 inches thick, the veil that was in front of the Holy of Holies, from the most holy place to the Holy of Holies. There was this veil, and it was torn in two. The moment that Jesus died, it was torn, it was ripped in two from the top down to the bottom. It was like God himself was saying, I am ripping this thing in half, right in two, so you can come into my presence. Not once a year, and only the high priest, but you. It says here, we can come in boldly. To enter the holiest into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, the veil, his flesh that was torn. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We are made clean by the blood of Jesus, and we can come into the presence of God Almighty. This morning, there are people that entered in to the presence of God through worship, their faith being in Jesus Christ and his broken body for us, or his blood shed for us. And they come in and they worship. And there's others, they just go and they may be singing a song and they are not entering in because they cannot enter in or they don't want to enter in. So there's no praise, there's no worship, or even if they're going through the motions and they're maybe even desiring to come in. They can't come in. You can only come in through Jesus Christ, by your faith. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What is the confession of our hope? His body broken and his blood shed for me, Jesus Christ. That's our confession of hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. By faith in his blood shed for me, not only can I come into the presence of God, but I can overcome Satan by faith, again, in Jesus' blood shed for me. You know, sometimes we think, I'm afraid of Satan. As a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have to be afraid of Satan. I overcome Satan by faith in Jesus' blood shed for me. Revelations 12, verse 7. And I'll tell you right now, this part of this is very near to happening if it hasn't already happened, because of where we are in the timeline of our existence and of the history of man from the beginning till now. It says, and a war broke out in heaven. Revelations 12, 7. Michael and his archangels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, each and every day, even if it were Satan, and Satan can only be in one place at a time. But even if Satan came to you himself, you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. What is your testimony? Jesus Christ, his body broken, his blood shed for me. That's my testimony. I was saved by faith in the one who shed his blood for me. I am being saved by faith in the one who shed his blood for me. I will be saved by the one who died for me, his body broken, his blood shed for me. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death, even in the face of death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time, or that he has a short time. He doesn't have much time left. I don't know if you've noticed it, but things are becoming darker and darker when it comes to this world and the ways of this world. It is now blatantly in your face. Things that are satanic. I heard, or we saw last year, for the opening of the Olympics, there was a table. They're recreating the Last Supper and making a mockery of the Last Supper. Blatantly. Now they have different concerts, they have different whatever, and they make a mockery openly of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you right now, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let your testimony be the same. I am saved. I was saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved by my faith in Jesus Christ and his blood shed for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So not only do we have the fact that we can be perfected by his blood, that we can come in boldly into his presence by his blood, that we can overcome Satan by his blood, but we also overcome death by his blood. In this same verse, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I mentioned last week, in the last few weeks, about 3 weeks ago now, there were seven that were beheaded in a church because of their faith in Jesus Christ in the Congo. Beheaded. They're being killed in Syria. They're being killed. They're being hunted and killed. And here they are even to death. All they have to do is renounce Jesus. I renounce Jesus. I renounce Jesus. I don't believe in him. You can go. You can live. Or are we going to kill you? Beheaded. Even beheaded. The moment they die, they're in the presence of God. Judgment takes place immediately, and they are with God in the moment. I just say, thank you, Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Not even death. We have everlasting life through Jesus. And lastly, by faith in his blood shed for me, I have abundant life now. Fullness of life. Then Jesus said to them again, John 10, verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's through Jesus Christ. In fact, just before Jesus went to the cross, he was talking to his disciples. He knew what was coming. It wasn't like it was a surprise to him. He knew. That's why he came. Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus means. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die for us. He had to pay for our penalties of being separated from God for eternity. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And it says that the wages, the penalty of our sins, is death or separation from God. But in that same sentence, in that same verse, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just say, thank you, Jesus, for life. So Jesus, just before he went to the cross, he talks to his disciples. And he says, you know, I'm going. And where I'm going, I want you to be. I want you to be with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. It is so. It is beautiful. There are many mansions. Again, where I'm going, I want you to be. You know the way. And I love what Thomas asks. Doubting Thomas. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. Jesus answered him, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. And I just say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm going to come through you. And it says that he is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, to have abundant life now. I'm not saying that you won't have difficulties. I'm not saying that you may not have trials and tribulations and temptations and storms. But what I am saying is you will have an abundant life. You will have abundant life. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that message spoke to you powerfully. Check us out online at lighthouseniagara.com, where we live stream every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless.